I think we have all heard the old saying, a picture is worth a thousand words. It means that an idea that might be difficult to describe in words can be conveyed in a single image. And I pulled up a few photos that I found by doing a Google search of the phrase, a picture is worth a thousand words, and I thought we would take a look at those this morning. Now pause there for just a minute. If you're a tech person, this is really summarizes what's been going on for the last month. Now the next one. These are more serious. Okay. One of the first things they teach you in public speaking class is that demonstration is more effective than definition for communicating ideas. Another way of saying that is show me is always better than tell me. So you're thinking, well, why do you do what you do then, Jeff? And that is a good question. Especially as I was going over these things, I thought, you know, I'm doing it all wrong up here. I don't know exactly how to do it, but the way I'm doing it is not the most effective way. But following an example is more effective than reading a set of instructions, isn't it? YouTube has become a valuable resource in this regard. I mean, if you want to know how to change a tire, someone has made a video that demonstrates doing it. You want to know how to clean a fish, someone has made a video on YouTube showing you how to clean a fish. You want to know how to throw a frisbee, floss your teeth, tie your shoes, pick your nose. Look on YouTube. There's somebody who's made a video to show you exactly how to do these things. I see this same concept demonstrated for me on a regular basis right here at the church. I mean, when I talk with people after the Sunday teaching, the thing they remember most clearly are the stories and the illustrations and the examples rather than the amazing theological insights that were shared. I could probably repeat the same amazing theological insight for weeks, and no one would notice. But if I repeat a story from 10 years ago in here, there's always one of you guys who goes, yeah, I remember when you told that story last time. Why? Because we can latch on to stories and pictures and examples much easier than we can wordy descriptions, definitions, and sermons. All of this is to make the point that we need good examples to follow, and that the most effective way for us to communicate with others is by being an example for them to follow. We're continuing our study of the letter of Hebrews this morning, and we've made our way to Hebrews 13, verse 7. So if you've got your Bible, you can make your way to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. As we noted before, chapter 13 is a collection of a number of topics that the author felt compelled to mention, but they don't necessarily fit into the theme of the letter. In the first three verses of this chapter, he talked about the importance of loving one another. And then in verses 4 through 6, he talked about sex and money. And now in verse 7, he's going to talk about legacy. And when I say legacy, it means that which is handed down or received from a predecessor. So Hebrews 13, verse 7, it says, "Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith." There are three words in this verse that I want us to pay particular attention to this morning. Remember, consider, and imitate. Remember, consider, and imitate. It says, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. The tense of this verb, translated remember, is a continuing action. To get that idea across, some prefer to translate it as continue remembering, or keep on remembering, or never stop remembering. Consider the outcome of their way of life. The Greek word translated consider means to observe carefully, to look at again and again, to examine attentively. I want us to notice that these leaders that he tells us to remember have not only spoken the word of God to us, but they have lived it. They are people who have had that all-important combination of word and deed. They lived what they preached. There are people who have all of the right answers to share with us, but because they don't follow their own good advice, living it themselves, it dramatically diminishes the effectiveness that they could have. I remember back when I was a kid, there was a woman in our neighborhood who was always telling us about how we needed to go to church. She happened to be a Sunday school teacher at that church. But she was always yelling down the street, literally yelling down the street at her own children, cussing at them. It didn't make a positive impression on us. And needless to say, we weren't really that excited about going to her Sunday school class at the church. The writer has told us before in this letter to remember and consider those who lived by faith. We have been told to remember and consider the founder and perfecter of our faith, Jesus Christ, and the life that he lived. And then we spent a few months, we'll say, in that great chapter of remembrance, chapter 11 of Hebrews, that traces the lives of people from Adam and Eve's son Abel to Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and Rahab and many others. Remembering, considering their lives. And now he tells us to remember our leaders who have spoken the word of God to us. These are people who are not necessarily mentioned in the pages of Scripture, but have set a good example for us to follow just the same. See, the language in verse 7 is indefinite, but it appears that the author is talking about leaders in the church who were no longer with them. Perhaps because they had died. Some of them may have been killed for their faith as martyrs. Others may be in prison at the moment, again, because of their faith in Christ. But he tells us to imitate their faith. That Greek word translated imitate means to imitate, to mimic, to duplicate, to follow in the same footsteps. That's what a disciple is. A person who imitates, seeks to duplicate the one that they're following. When Jesus invites us to follow him, this is what he's telling us to do. He says, come, be my disciple, follow me, imitate me, duplicate in you what you observe in me. When we say that we are a follower of Jesus Christ, that is what we are saying, whether we realize it or not, that we are a disciple of Jesus. We are someone who is seeking to imitate Jesus, to duplicate him, to be a copycat of Jesus. But we're told here in Hebrews 13:7 to remember and thoughtfully consider the example that others have set for us and follow in those same footsteps with our own life. Well, I've been thinking about some of the people who have set a good example for me personally to follow. And I wanted to share some of those with you in hopes that me sharing with you about some of the people who have had an impact on my life will cause you to remember some of the people who have had an impact in your life. Now, I've purposely chosen not to include on my list anyone who might be here today. Although some of you here are certainly on my list, good list, of people who have had an impact on my life, and you are indeed among those who I remember and consider and seek to imitate. The first person on my list, though, is C.S. Lewis. I read his book, Mere Christianity, about 2 weeks after I had become a Christian when I was a freshman in college. That book, more than any other outside of the Bible, has influenced my understanding of God over the years. That book caused me to love and appreciate God on an intellectual level, which then worked its way down into my heart. I have read many of C.S. Lewis's books since that first encounter. John Flavel, he was a Puritan back in the 1600s. And his book, A Fountain of Life, was a book which helped me to see and appreciate the glory of Christ in ways that I had never considered before. John Flavel, he wrote that book in the late 1600s while being persecuted for his faith. The Act of Uniformity in England declared it illegal for Christians like John Flavel to preach. But he and the people under his pastoral care, they continued to meet in private homes, in the forest, for 25 years until the law was finally changed. His courage and his great love for Christ made a powerful impression on me. D.L. Moody set an example of faith and obedience which had a profound impact on my life. He was a very common young man who left home for the big city of Chicago when he graduated from high school. He took a job as a shoe salesman, working for a man who happened to be a Christian. And that man shared Christ with D.L. Moody, who came to faith in Christ. Moody began to attend the church and he started teaching Sunday school. Well, God bless Moody's simple desire to serve him, and in coming years, he would become one of the greatest evangelists of all time, impacting thousands of lives all over the world. A shoe salesman. A.W. Tozer. His writings have always resonated with me in a unique way, lighting a fire in my heart for the Lord and his church. Tozer was a pastor and writer who died in 1963. He was known for his insight into the spiritual condition of the modern church and has been very effective at calling people to a deeper relationship with God. Chuck Swindoll. I used to listen to Chuck Swindoll's teaching on the radio every day while I was driving to work and to school when I was a new Christian. And I always appreciated his skill of explaining the Bible text with balance between intelligence and passion. His careful, accurate exposition was always very personal and relevant. And I especially enjoyed his teachings of the Old Testament stories. I used to always say to myself, if I ever teach the Bible, I want to be able to teach like him. There's these next people are all folks that you may or may not know, so I'm just going to say first name and a last initial just in case you might know them. But this next individual, Mark L., he was the pastor of a small church in a small town in the area where I grew up in Northern California. He was really my first pastor. And he took the time to teach me the fundamentals of the Christian faith, answered all of my crazy questions that I had about Christianity at the time. He patiently overlooked my youthful arrogance, lovingly cared and put up with me in spite of my rough edges. I watched him and I learned from his example of what walking with God looked like. And he was the first person who recognized God's call in my life, and he challenged me to fan into flame the gift of God that was in me, impressing on me at the time the importance of doing the hard work of disciplined study of the Bible. Mark probably doesn't even know what I'm doing. We lost connection with each other many years ago, but I owe him a debt of gratitude for his example and the challenge that he gave me. Ann R. She was a spiritual mom for me. I taught my very first home Bible study at her house almost 30 years ago. I had no experience. I didn't know what I was doing. I'd never done it before. But she prayed for me, and she supported me, and she believed in me, and she talked me through it every week. She would sit up and talk with me each week after the study, encouraging me, helping me, teaching me, reminding me, and always drawing me back to that idea that Jesus Christ needed to be the center of and the reason for everything that I did. Finally, Ray C. This is my father-in-law, my wife's dad. He's no longer with us, but his example of faithfulness to Christ continues to live in the hearts of those who knew him. He came to Christ later in life, after his children were grown. But what a sweet work of grace that God did in his life. He was one of the very first real men that I got to know after I became a Christian who really loved God. I learned a lot about what a godly man is by watching Ray. Now, I'm a long way from being the kind of man that he was, but I hope to one day become as gentle and kind-hearted and wise as he was. Now, these are some of the people who have spoken the word of God and lived it before me, who I then sought to imitate. Now, there are many others. And I hope that as I've shared about a few of these people in my life, that you've been reminded of people in your life too. People that you have sought to imitate because of the example that they have lived before you. Follow good examples. Find good examples to follow. Whether they're living people or dead people, people who you're following through books, movies, or people that you go to church with, that you have a friendship with, whatever. Find good examples and follow them. Many of the kinds of things that people aspire to do and become are not the kind of good examples that are going to last into eternity. They're temporal things. I mean, leading the league in scoring is not going to earn you points with God. Selling a bazillion copies of a record is not going to get you a hearing with God. Starring in the next blockbuster movie is not going to get you a ticket to heaven. Getting into the elite group of billionaires is not going to buy you God's favor. Choose to imitate people who are full of faith and seeking to live a Christ-like life. See, we become what we follow. If you follow stupid people, you are going to be stupid too. Forrest Gump's mama used to say, "Stupid is as stupid does." So stay away from stupid people. If you follow people of good character, full of faith and courage and love for God, then you're going to become like that. I want to encourage us to be a good example. Jesus was a good example for us to follow, the best example for us to follow. He's the ideal that we strive to follow. The benchmark, the one that we measure ourselves against, is Jesus. Peter wrote 1 Peter 2:21, "For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps." Paul sought to be a good example that others could follow. He wrote in 1 Corinthians 11:1, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." We're commanded to be good examples for others. 1 Timothy 4:12, Paul wrote to young Timothy, and he says, "Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity." You might remember when we were studying the lives of the various people mentioned in Hebrews 11 that we noted how Samuel exemplified this Bible verse. He set an example for others in how he lived his life, even when he was a child. 3 John, verse 11. Have you ever been to 3 John in your Bible? Did you even know there's such a book? It's only a page, so it's easy to blast right past it if you're... But it says in 3 John, verse 11, "Beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good." Or, "Don't follow stupids." Follow the godly. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. Finally, let's flip over to Titus chapter 2. Paul is giving Titus instructions here. And in verse 1, he says, "But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They're to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teachings show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. Slaves are to be submissive to their own masters in everything. They are to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, not showing, but showing all good faith, so that in everything they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior." All believers, all followers of Jesus are to live in such a way that others can use our life as an example to imitate. Older women, younger men, younger women, slaves, employers, employees, children, all of us. In closing, I want to encourage us to let's leave a legacy for others, an example worthy to be followed. I mean, how awesome it would be to have lived our life in such a way that others look back over our life and consider us an example of faith to imitate. See, there are two ways to run the race of life. Some run the race of life like it's an individual event. They run for their individual goals and achievements. And that all sounds okay on the surface. But what do you have at the end of your race? You have your achievements, which, as Solomon wisely observed, will eventually be forgotten when you're gone. Ecclesiastes 1:11. He says, "There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of latter things yet to be among those who come after." But there's another way to run the race of life. Rather than run it as an individual event, run it like it's a relay race. That you're part of a relay race. You've received the baton from others that have come before you. Those who you remember and consider and imitate. And you're going to pass that baton on to others who come after you by you living in such a way that you are remembered, that you are considered, and you are imitated. Then your life's influence reaches beyond you. Let's make Paul's credo that he spoke to the Corinthian believers our own. 1 Corinthians 11:1. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Remember, consider, imitate. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for this challenge that we are given in your word this morning, to remember and to consider the lives of those who have gone before us and to imitate them as they have followed after you, Jesus. And I pray, God, for us here this morning too, that we would live lives that are worthy to be remembered and considered and imitated. May we imitate Jesus so that others can imitate us. In his name we pray these things. Amen.